Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank thee for the gospel's joyful sound. It shows how free, gracious, loving, and kind thy plan of salvation is. Thou dost require of us nothing but faith in Christ. Please bless thy word to our hearts for his sake. Amen. We come now in our study in the book of Romans to a chapter which Paul gets to his point that he's been developing for the last two chapters, and that is why the only way we can be justified before God is by faith alone. It answers the question, how can God be just and the justifier of the wicked? In the book of Proverbs, it says, he that justifieth the wicked is abomination to the Lord. Justify means to pronounce just. Justify is a forensic, a legal term. Justify means to pronounce not guilty. That is why you read in the Bible, people justify God. They don't make him just. They pronounce him just. Now, that's an important point because in Roman Catholic theology, justification is God's making you personally just through sacraments and good works. But justification doesn't make anyone just personally. It makes them just legally. When the judge in court says you're not guilty, he hasn't changed your nature. He just declared your relationship to the law. And justification changes your relationship to the law from guilt to innocence because of the work of Christ on your behalf. In the previous two chapters, the apostle proved first that the Gentile world is guilty before God. In the second chapter, he proved that the Jews are all guilty just as much as the Gentiles. And that is to prove that there's no way to be justified by works. If everybody is condemned by his works, there must be another way of justification. And that is justification by faith alone without works. You're justified by good works of Christ and not your own. We'll begin in verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly that because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Well, Paul is here rebutting the argument he expects from the Jews for saying in the last chapter, you're not saved just because you're children of Abraham. You're not saved just because you're in the covenant made with Abraham in the visible church. You're not saved just because you're circumcised. And so they may say, well, then, what's the advantage of being a Jew? Paul says there's a great advantage. You have the oracles of God. You have the light of Scripture that the Gentiles don't have, which is a great privilege. Now, that doesn't equate to salvation, having the truth, but it certainly is a great advantage. What advantage is a Jew? Why are the Jews a chosen people? They were chosen to have the oracles of God. They were chosen for two things. One, through them, God would write the Bible. Every writer of the Bible is Jewish. And through them, the only Savior of the world would come. That's what they were chosen for. It doesn't mean they were chosen for salvation. Only the elect are, and they're both Jews and Gentiles. Like the Gentile Noah, the Gentile Enoch, even before there were Jews. Actually, Abraham was a Gentile when he was saved. So having the truth of the Bible was a great advantage over the Gentiles, though it didn't provide salvation by itself. But there are questions like saying, Well, if belonging to the church and taking the sacraments doesn't save me, what's the advantage of being a Christian? Much every way, Paul says. Because you sit under the preaching of the truth. You sit under the light of Scripture. You sit under truth that in this once Christian country, very few people understand anymore. The ignorance of the Bible is astonishing these days. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. They let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. The unbelief of some or most of the Jews didn't make the truth of the gospel as it was presented in the Old Testament in types and shadows of none effect. And here for the first time we run across the word justified. And it does refer to God. That God may be justified when he is judged. He may be pronounced just. So justification doesn't make God just, it says that he is just. Justification doesn't make you a just person. It makes you legally not guilty of having broken the law. It's sanctification that makes you a good person. The progressive work of the Holy Spirit. Justification is a pronouncement of a judge. It doesn't take place in you. Sanctification is the work of a physician. It does take place in you. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? A God unrighteous who taketh vengeance, I speak as a man. Well, this is the old argument we still hear today. Roman Catholics and some Protestants, if my good works don't save me, what's the point of doing good works? You've probably heard that. I can do evil, a good may come. Paul says it's a slander to say that we teach such things, and those who say we do, their damnation is just. What then, are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Here Paul returns to his theme of the universal guilt of both Jew and Gentile. He asks, are we Jews better than they are, the Gentiles? And he says, no, not at all. I've already proved Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. The Gentiles have sinned against God, that they know through the book of nature. The Jews have sinned against God, whom is revealed in their scriptures. The Gentiles have sinned against God's law written in their hearts. The Jews have sinned against God's law written in their scriptures. Then he lists the other sins that both Jews and Gentiles are guilty of. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Do you have any idea what a grave would smell like if you opened it? I'm sure you've all smelled a dead animal. Once a mouse got caught in one of my traps and died. And he must have been there a week or two before I found him. And it was probably the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life. I almost got sick thinking about it. It's over a year ago. This is what the mouth of many people is like. Foul. With their tongue they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Sins of the tongue. And how prevalent that is today. You know, you can't turn on a TV and not hear it. When I was in junior high school, I was a ham radio operator. And the FCC had very strict rules, 1950s. If you said damn over the radio, you could be in serious trouble and lose your license. Today, you walk to the shopping mall and you hear little children using the most shocking language. Just what Paul is talking about here. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Isn't this the history of the human race? War, war, and war. Swift to shed blood, destruction and misery, the way of peace they have not known. That's the human race. I recently read this in Winston Churchill's writings. And Winston Churchill, some of us remember as the man who was two times the Prime Minister of Great Britain. But Churchill was a warrior before he was a statesman. He went to military school. He was a commissioned officer in the British cavalry. He was a hero of the Sudan mission, the River War. Churchill wrote, "The story of the human race is war. Except for brief and precarious interludes, there's never been peace in the world. And before history began, murderous strife was universal and unending." The way of peace the human race has not known. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Far from being a way of salvation as the Jews thought, the law is precisely what condemns us. It reveals our sin and condemns us for it. It condemns the Gentiles because they have that law written in their hearts. It condemns the Jews because they have that law written in their scriptures. And that is why Paul says, by the deeds of the law, nobody will ever be justified in God's sight. So that must mean there must be another way of justification, if there's to be a justification. And Paul now introduces that. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ without works. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. How to be right with God is now manifested, made clear in the gospel. But note that Paul says this is not something new. It was witnessed by the law and the prophets. Law and the prophets is a Jewish expression for the whole Bible, the whole Old Testament. The law, the five books of Moses, the prophets, everything else. The whole Old Testament, Paul says, preached justification by faith in Christ to come alone, without works. Abraham was justified by faith 1,000 years before King David. King David was justified by faith 1,000 years before Christ. He said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, whose transgression is covered." Even the righteousness of God is which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The righteousness that gives you peace with God is not your own. It's God's righteousness, which he gives you through Christ. And again, there's no difference, Paul says, between the Jew and the Gentile. They've all sinned. They've all come short of the glory of God. And both Jew and Gentile can be saved only by faith in the one Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Here Paul explains how God can be a just God and still justify sinners. The sinner that puts his faith in Christ obtains the righteousness of Christ. So he's legally without sin. That way God can be a just judge and pronounce that sinner just because he's legally just. Christ paid for his sins in full. He gives the believer his own righteousness. He fulfills all that the law requires for you. Perfect life, he did that for you. A death under the wrath of God, he did that for you. You owe nothing. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision by faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Those of you who witness to unbelievers know what boasting he's talking about. A couple of days ago, I was witnessing to a man. Didn't go to church, didn't think he needed Christ. I said, what's going to happen to you when you die? He said, I'll be all right. I said, why? I think most of you can tell me what his answer was. Because I am a good person. It's predictable. That's called boasting. I'm a good person. I don't need a savior. And I hear it all the time. But if you're saved, that's what I told them. You come before God, I'm saved because Jesus died for me, a sinner, not a good person. Well, does this gospel then do away with God's law? There are people who think that. Oh, well, grace does away with the law. No, grace fulfilled the law. And that's why Paul makes this very important statement. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. Everything the law required, Jesus didn't set aside, he fulfilled all for us. And then there's a verse which is my text, and I conclude with this, as Paul concluded, probably one of the most golden of golden texts in the Bible. Paul sums up his whole argument of these three chapters with these words. We conclude then that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. Indeed, Lord, the true gospel is good news. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to thy cross I cling. Please bless thy truth to our hearts, and may we live by it for Jesus' sake. Amen.